And I'm going to put my water under here. God is good. Whenever I sing that song and we get to that yes part, right, I always have a little saying that comes up in my teaching and preaching that we should have a yes spirit. That whenever God is speaking to us, we have a yes. Because so often we can have a what? A little hand or no. Okay, but I always think that. So thank you for blessing us. God is here already, right? Amen. So I'm so thankful. You know, I'm over 50 here. I'm 53. I thank God my age doesn't bother me. I just thank God for another year of life. Anybody else in the house, right? God, you know, in fact, even that scripture, Psalm 92, Pastor, when we were in that, the end of Psalm 92, and it tells you, do I still have it open? No, I close it to another verse. It says there, even in my old age, but what does it say? I will have freshness, I will have strength, I will flourish like the Lebanon trees in Lebanon, and I always claim that. I'm like, I want to be 80, 90, still serving Jesus. Amen, right? He's got stuff for us to do, so I am never ashamed of age. It gives me more time to glorify God. Amen. So as Pastor mentioned, I'm so glad to be here. You're back to school Sunday. My husband and I have been in Newark for 20-plus years, planting churches, loving people, sharing Jesus, but I also teach at Technology High School in Newark. Across the river, y'all. you go on Passaic Ave, across the river, there's Technology High School. So I've taught in Newark for about 12 years. I took a 12-year break to raise 4 kids, but now 3 of my kids are young adults. My last one's a senior in high school, and so I get to put my 4th one through college. That's where I'm at. We're doing the last SAT, the last college push, but my greatest prayer has always been that they love Jesus. Serve him, whatever you're called to do. My oldest one was a business major, now he's working with a contractor. My second son's an NYU, he's into music. I said, Jesus uses music. Right? My third one's into interior design. I said, Jesus user gift. Right? So even if you're called to the full-time or the five-fold ministry, God wants to use us, people. He wants to use us right where you're planted in the work. I'm a big into marketplace Christianity. You know what that means? That in the world, wherever you serve, if you're in the business world, if you're an engineer, if you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, you need to be Jesus there. Hello? Amen. 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 So, hey, back to school Sunday, right? So I'm getting ready, right, parents? Getting ready. If your kids aren't in school, they're going to be right? All right? So what happens when you go back to school? And I appreciate what Pastor Quezzy was saying, because I really believe this. You might not have kids anymore, or maybe your kids are older. And you might say, well, it kind of doesn't relate to me. But you know, it does. We're always a learner. And I tell teachers, I work with teachers at Technology as well as I teach English and journalism. But one thing I tell them, and I can because I'm 53 years old, I said, never stop learning as an educator. That's when you dry up and you have nothing to offer your kids. Same with Christianity. If you stop learning and praying and seeking, you have nothing to offer anybody else to lead them to Jesus. So always be a learner in your spirit and your mind. So we're getting back to school, getting back to learning. So let's say you have nothing to do with education. You know how there's another clue that we're all back to school? One word. Everybody say traffic. Come on. You know school's in session. Come on. That might be your way. Oh, it takes me longer to get to work. School's in session. We're back to school, right? So I was praying. I'm like, all right, Lord, what do you have? And God really totally changed my message about Tuesday. And then I began praying another way. Here's the name of this message. We need to get back to priorities, people, and power. You get the P's there? Alliteration? Tell I teach English, right? We need to get back to our priorities, which are always based on people. And where you have those two, we need the power of God at work. So as I share God's heart today and a lot of scriptures today, I want you to, they're not only linear, right? Sequential, I believe they're cyclical. Our priorities inform the people we touch. And we can't help the people in our circle unless we have the power of God at work in our lives. Are you with me? So stay with me. I want to, as I just give what God has put in my heart to give us. I think as the seasons in our lives change, and we're getting back to school, but a fall season, the danger, here's what I think we have to watch, is that we're driven by expediency rather than priority. You with me? What does expediency mean? Something that must be done, right? It's right in front of us. It's the now. You ever heard of an article called The Tyranny of the Urgent? It's been around for years. It was written like 30, 40, even maybe 50 years ago. And the whole idea is that we're driven every day by just the urgent. I got to get gas for my car. I got to pick up the kids. Dinner's at 6. And then and we need to operate that way. But if you don't have your priorities underneath that urgency, sometimes we can get off track from our priorities. Are you with me? Yeah. And so that, I think that's something that's kind of a caution for us, that we're not just driven by expediency, but say, okay, Lord, and so this is really point one here, what are your priorities for this season in my life? All right, what are our priorities? Now, there's different types of priorities, right? Can we, spiritual priorities, amen? Lord, spiritually, what is your priority for me? I have to confess something, it's good for the soul, right? I used to be, and I still am, I'm such a studier of the word, that's why I'm a preacher and a teacher. But I wasn't much into worship music. Now, I love music, and I love to worship God myself, but I wasn't much into worship music. And so part of me used to think, I'm confessing here, oh, but if you're into worship, they don't study the word enough. Underneath, God showed me this, that I had a wrong perspective. God showed me this. And the whole idea is that now as I get older, God is funny. Do you guys think God's funny? Because he knows us so well. He knows what we need. Now he is showing me the power of worship with the word. All right? So he's put that whole thing in balance for me. So think. I want you to think, as I share with you today, Lord, what are your priorities for my life and what? This season. Maybe it's something on work. Maybe you're working on a work project, and that, you know, that's a natural priority. You with me? Maybe it's in your home. There's an element, ladies, in our home. Even if you have kids in the home or not, we can be neglecting some things in our home. Natural. But then there might be a spiritual priority. Maybe you haven't been praying enough. Right? And then I also have, so I think we have spiritual priorities. We have natural priorities. And I think a third one I want to call people priorities. Everybody say people. I tell you what, this whole life is full of what? I sound simplistic, right? But we can live this life looking through people instead of at people. And I'm kind of, this is my second point in my sermon. So I want you to think about, Lord, what are two? Even right now, if we just pause right now and say, Lord, show me what are some priorities you have for me in my life? And am I aligning them with your priorities? You guys know what alignment means, right? Something's in a line, it functions. All right, because they were, anybody put in a wood floor before? A wood floor or a parquet floor or a pergo floor? And if you get the interlocking pieces of wood, boy, you have to do what? You have to get those interlocks just right. You got to go back and take it up because your floor will not finish. That's alignment. That tongue and that groove have got to be aligned. And so here's another prayer I have for all of us. I know what my priorities are, but are they God's priorities for me? See? Are my priorities aligned with God's priorities? So I just real simply, I looked up the word priority. Here's what it means. Most important, first concern, primary issue, precedence, preeminence, first, highest place. And so that's my question, what I want the Holy Spirit to kind of teach us today. Are my priorities God's priorities? What can happen if they're not? We're spending all of our time, and I believe our priorities get our first what? Our first attention, right? They get our best. I think the priorities get our best of us. Our creativity, our priorities get the best of who we are. So can you imagine if your priorities is not God's priority? What receives the best of you? The wrong what? The wrong priority. Are you with me? And so my prayer as I was praying in this, so Lord, help our priorities be your priorities. I'm a mom of four, right? So my priority for my kids has changed. So think about that also. You might have the priority of your children, but now my season has changed. They're young adults. So instead of, you know, running them to school events, right, to the big old chauffeur, right, getting them here, making sure they're studying and their homework, now I've kind of evolved more into a prayer. I've always prayed for them, but I'm praying a lot more. Everybody with me? Isn't it something even when your kids become adults? We're always a parent. Hello, right? How many of you, raise your hand if you have adult children, right? Hello, half of us, we have adult children. So then you move and can't control their lives anymore, right? So now that prayer becomes more of a what? Priority. Fill them with your spirit, Lord, right? Help them marry. Here's one of my prayers, Lord, because they're in the dating situation now. Lord, help them marry your person. And here's my dating prayer. This is for free. Lord, help their spirits not knit with anybody in the dating time that you don't want them to marry. Amen. You know what I mean? Where there's no knitting, where, you know, the thing gets a little bonded too much, and where they can't then hear whether that's God's person. That's kind of my prayer in the dating realm. And so that they would just follow and serve God and make a difference in this world. Guys, we live in a crazy, crazy world. Just real simple. I was, I'm an educator. I teach in the high school level. And so I have student teachers a lot. And so I mentor teachers. And I love doing that. I like helping teachers become better. A lot of you were in our teaching class, and I love you guys. I see you guys doing the work of God. But I had to go to a university. I don't want to name any universities this past week, into some training sessions for new student teachers. But there was an agenda running in this training, and it had to do with gender identities and homosexuality. And here's my point, not to name anybody, but that's the devil's agenda. And I knew I was supposed to be there. It was like I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what they stole. I knew I was in the enemy's camp, but it was right where I was supposed to be. I want to know the lies. Don't laugh at me. I want to know the lies the devil is spewing, what's going out to these potential teachers, so we can know how to pray against it, combat it. It's the God of this age. And the reason it's so powerful is because it's in our university system. It's in our university system. So these young kids go to school, and they're getting all this. And it's indoctrination of an agenda. And here I was just trying to help my student teacher, but look at this underwriting agenda. And that's why we have to have our priorities right, guys. We have to make a difference in this world. If we don't make a difference, who's going to? If we who are called by Christ to be a believer and make a difference, if we don't do it, obviously nobody else is going to. So we have got to say, God, what is your priority in my life right now? What should I be spending my mental energy, my best of me? Because there's only so much of us, right? The one thing I can tell my age is when I go home, I'm a little more tired, right? Paul, I lay down on that couch. Paul says, oh, there she goes, right? I fall asleep, right? I'm so busy. But our priorities have to be God's priorities, okay? All right, I want to look at scripture. I want to look at a few things. And I want to look at the Apostle Paul. What was the Apostle Paul's priority? Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the what? Power of God unto salvation for somebody who believes, for everybody who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentiles. And then if you go in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says this, woe be unto me if I do not what? Preach the gospel. And then he says down further in chapter 9, he says, I have become all things to all men that I might by some means win them to Christ. Paul's priority was what? Preaching. He knew his priority, right? He knew it. He walked in it. And he even says in 1 Corinthians 2 there, he says, I am doing nothing else but preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. It consumed, his priority drove everything. So let me pause. Let's say you don't know what your priorities are. You know the best way to determine them? Where do you spend the most of your time? Wherever we spend our time, that is our priority. You with me? I don't know what they are. Look at your life. When you come home from work, what do you spend your time doing? When you're at lunch, what do you spend your time doing? Where are you spending your time? That is where your heart is. It really is. So that's just a way to examine, all right? And so in this area, so Paul, he was consumed with preaching the gospel. That was his priority. In point two, remember I'm talking about, what's my three P's? Priorities, who remembers the second P? People, what's the third P? Power. Remember I said they're linear, but they're also what? Connected, they're interrelated, because your priorities will always be connected to people. All right, your priorities. Yeah, I call it, back in the day, I read so many books. All I remember is the title, not the author. There was a book called Circle of Influence. And the whole idea is that wherever you work is your circle. Right? Influence, that you can influence them for Christ. And I believe that's absolutely true. If you're a gas station attendant, right? I go to the same gas station, if y'all do, because I know they trust my debit card, right? So I go to the same, but I get to know the guys that work there, right? They're a little bit of my circle, are they not? I go get my gas. I intentionally get my gas there all the time because I want to know them. I really do. It's like when you go to the grocery store. I have a couple different stores, but the checkouters, I'll say, hey, I'll help you bag. And they're like, whoa, okay, sure. Boom, I hit the little foot thing and the groceries come down and I help these young kids bag. I do all of that, what? Intentionally. Guys, do you know that's part of being a believer in the world is intersecting people's lives? So they might wake up, because the God of this age, 1 Corinthians 4, I think, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers that they cannot see the glory of Christ. But so when we intersect their lives, whether I'm bagging groceries, I'm talking to the gas attendant, we're intersecting, causing and praying that blind to be what? We have the gospel. We have the power. We have the love and passion of Christ. So when we intersect their lives, that blind begins to do what? Come up so they might see Jesus. What I call for real, you know, I teach high school kids. You know what this means, right? I feel you. I see you. For real. Boy, and if you want to know if you're for real, ask a high school student. They know in a minute if you are for real. And they get me right away. I'm for real. I tell them, we're going to run this ship. But you're going to learn a lot in here. You're going to actually have fun in here. But boy, here's what I expect. But guess what? Because I have the bar way up here, they rise to the bar. I tell you not. And I know it's because I pray the Holy Spirit in my classroom, right? I pray for the kids. I pray for love. I pray for power. I pray for passion. I pray for Jesus to break all those gender issues, all right? And all that confusion that doesn't come from God, or it doesn't come from self. It comes from the enemy. The enemy brings confusion into all of that, right? So God wants our priorities to align with his today. So Paul's priority was preaching the gospel. He was not swayed from his priority, okay? Let me turn on my notes. Hey, man, I love you. All right, I want to go to the Old Testament. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, just listen. So 2 Kings 4, this is the ministry of Elisha. Prophet, right? Protege to Elijah. Do you know Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah? At least twice as many. But I want to go to the Shunammite woman. All right, so the story of the Shunammite woman, she was a rich woman. If you're turning, it's in 2 Kings 4, 8 through 10. And so whenever Elisha was traveling and doing his miracles, the Shunammite woman, she's well-to-do, note and would invite him in for a meal. All right? So let me just read it, okay? 2 Kings 4, 8 through 10. You can, here's my age, the glasses thing, okay? One day, Elisha went to Shunam, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof for him, put a bed in it and a table, chair, and lamp. Then he can stay here whenever he comes to us. What was her priority? What, Pastor, say it louder. Rest was her priority, but relationship to Elisha. She always fed him, so when he was around ministering in the company of prophets, He was doing the work. People were healed, famines, axe heads, floats. He was doing this ministry. She fed him, but she knew it wasn't enough. She goes to her husband and said, hey, let's build a little room so whenever he's here, he can stay. Her priority was hospitality. You know, I intentionally chose this. There's a tons of biblical examples I could have chosen. You know why I chose this one? Because it's very what? Practical. Right? So if you would have just said, oh, I know Paul the apostle, he's called to be the preacher, I could never do that. But if God is asking you to have this kind of priority, all right? So that was her priority. She said, I need to have a room here so while he's doing the ministry and the work of God, he has somewhere to stay, okay? It might be a hospitality priority. It might be a children. Maybe God's asking you to start a ministry in the church. Maybe he's asking you to start an after-school program. What is God asking you to do for his priority? But she was faithful. She did that. She did that. I found it very interesting. She and her husband, you know, even in a patriarchal time, she went to her what? It wasn't her husband who God laid, right? It was she. And he was totally fine with it. They established this pace of priority. Everybody cool so far? One more biblical example of priorities. Jesus, right? What was Jesus' priority? He actually had about 10 of them. But at the heart of them all, was to do whose will? The will of the Father. So under doing the will of the Father, everything else falls into what? Alignment. All right? Listen to the scripture, John 4, 34. My food is to do the will of him who what? Sent me and to finish his work. I want us to turn to this passage. If you have your Bible, turn to John 4. That's the heart of John 4, but I want you to look at how Jesus interaction with his disciples, John 4. So what P are we on? Priorities, right? Back to school. We have to focus on having our priorities in line with God's. John 4. All right. John 4. 34. My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish. You guys get that? We can start doing the work, but we have to what? Finish, right? It isn't those who, Paul says it later, right, in his letters, it isn't those who start the race. Guys, we can start as many races as we want. What counts? Finishing the race. So that's the idea of perseverance. He says he must finish the work. John 4:35. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months into the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes. I think God is saying this to us. I'm into point two when I talk about people. God wants us to open our eyes, to not look through people, but to see people and be inconvenienced. Look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. Verse 36. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and a harvest, a crop for eternal life. So the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one reaps and another sows, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefit of their labor. When I memorized that 30 years ago, it must have been the New American Standard Version, says you have entered in to somebody else's labor. Do you know when we work our priorities? All right, so let's say my brother, let's say you're a contractor, right? And you're in the field and you're working on houses. That's his circle of priorities. Is he going to engage a lot of people in that circle? Yes. Absolutely. The electrician's got to come. The code guy from the city's got to come. The homeowner's going to be there. And I believe that's how God wants his kingdom to come in the earth. I believe in this church. Do you know the church is God's idea, right? This is God's idea to equip, to encourage, to restore, to heal. But as time goes, we have to engage people outside of the church. Are you with me? It makes sense to them, guys. The enemy has blinded people. They see the church as irrelevant. It is not, but the blind is there. So in your circle of priority, maybe your home is your priority now. I took 12 years off teaching. I was all in ministry, lots of ministry. But I tell the teachers I was intentionally poor for 12 years. I wasn't poor, because then they have a mindset. I said I was intentionally poor. I put my money in a different place. Hello? I chose to stay home, have less money, so I could pour into my kids. Somebody raises our children. Y'all know that, right? Somebody. And I said, I'm raising my children. Somebody will always raise our children for us. So I had to do that, okay? All right, so let me go. Let's go to our second point. So I hope your spirit and your mind is saying, all right, Lord, in my circle of priorities, what is my priority? Is it a spiritual one? Is it natural? Is it people? And make sure we're in line with God's priorities. Amen? Everybody good? All right, what's our second P? We need to return to our priorities. Now we need to return to what? Everybody say people. All right, tell me if you've heard any of these little jokes or quips. I like this job. It's the people I don't like. I like this church. It's the people I don't like. I like teaching. I bet you can fill it in. It's the students I don't like. And in parentheses, I have teacher administration, etc. I like security, but it's the cops I don't like. Oh, ouch, right? Ouch. Can't say amen. You say ouch, right? I like to drive, but it's the other drivers I don't like. Our lives, guys, when the minute we walk out our homes in the morning, we are going to be engaging people. The minute. Somebody's going to be walking their dog. Hello, right? So your neighbor's going to be backing on their dog. You're at the stoplight, you know, somebody might be honking at you. The minute we leave, and I think we have to be very intentional, and my point three is about the power of the Spirit. Remember, this is interrelated here. We're doing all this with the work of the Spirit in our lives. Are you with me? But we have got to get back. I was ordained in 1999, so actually 20 years ago, with the Assemblies of God, and I had to write out my ministry philosophy. So I thought about it for a while, but then it really became simplified for me. I have a four-word ministry philosophy. Pretty deep, eh? I have a four-word ministry philosophy. And I was driving around in Newark when God gave me this. Love people, share Jesus. And I thought, Lord, you are so intentional. I believe God's very intentional. It wasn't the other way around. God didn't tell me, share Jesus, love people. See the difference? You guys see the difference, right? The first one is, talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You don't really care about them. There's no relational element. You're not listening, passion, brokenness for them as a person, understanding what does Holy Spirit have, what's going on in this person's life, right? You're just preaching at them. He said, no, if you love people, truly engage, have passion, know who they are, pray for them, I will open up every door for you to share my name. And I think it's true for almost everybody. When I go in that classroom, I've done some crazy things in the classroom. But I tell you what, those kids know I am for them, I'm their advocate, and I love them. And because of that, guess what God has done? In the secular world, I don't have to open the door to preach the gospel. Guess what? He opens the door. I'll have kids say, hey, what's the difference between a guy that wears the thing, which means a pre-scholar, right? Wears the thing and another guy. I said, oh, you mean a Catholic priest and a pastor? Yeah, yeah. And so, okay, well, the Catholics believe this and the papacy, and you know, I break it down for them. And they'll say, well, why about, I kid you not, when you have God's priority, when you have God's priority in your workplace, it doesn't matter what your engineer, lawyer, doctor, doesn't matter, homemaker. When you have God's priority, he is just going to open the doors, and you just need to say, have that yes spirit. Are you with me? You have to have that yes spirit. I did another Bible study with the ladies in the Newark church at Central. I think it was a Bruce Wilkerson book. But he talked about the nudges of the Holy Spirit. I don't actually remember. It was a great book, but I don't remember anything else about the book except that line. The Holy Spirit is always nudging us, related to people, every day. And it's usually real soft and gentle, guys. It's really like, go talk to that person, right? God told me, bag the groceries today. So I'm going, hey, how you doing? What's up? I'll help you bag today. That was a nudge I obeyed. You with me? Sitting with somebody at school. You have to follow those nudges, and I call them the nudges of the, related to what? People. And let me give us something I've practiced with. None of us have road rage, right, y'all? Right, remember that traffic that tells us we're back to school? Remember that traffic? If you begin to practice letting other people going in front of you, your road rage is going to go like this. I've tried it. It really works. Letting somebody get in. Well, they shouldn't. They're not. You know how our minds are going. Well, I was there first. You know, we're like, boom, I got to get to work. I'm going to be late. But as you just practice, watch your emotional level change. And then you can go back to praying or listen to your music or whatever. But it's all those things that take us away. So listen to the nudges of the Holy Spirit, okay? All right, I want to go to Mark 6. Go to Mark 6, because Jesus' priority was what, people? People, right? Let's go to Mark 6. Mark 6. While you're turning there, Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save what? The lost. Jesus loved people. All right, so Mark 6, 30 through 37. All right, this is the feeding of the 5,000. I have to fix my glasses, I apologize. But I'm not going to read you the part of the miracle. I want you to pay attention to what happens before the miracle. Are you with me? Because we already know all the five loaves and the two fishes. We know the miracle part. I want you to see the front part, okay? So if you're there, Mark 6, starting at verse 30. Thank you. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, the disciples didn't have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and I'll give you rest. Notice here, the disciples were what? Everybody say hungry. Nobody can say hungry? The disciples were hungry. Jesus immediately says, he doesn't say, come, I'll get you food. He says, come, I will give you rest. Jesus has different perceptions than we do. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place, verse 33. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Guys, can you picture this? They had gotten in a boat. They're going to get in a boat in a minute. So they wanted Jesus. They wanted them. Jesus says, he has the people. Pretend this was all the people on this side over here, all right? Jesus and the disciples get in a boat, and they're going across the lake. All the people say, well, they didn't give us anything. They run. This is what it says. They go to the towns. They go around the lake. And when the boat gets to the other side, the people are now over here. So you guys could be the people, right? So here's the boat. So when they get out, the people are there again. Can you imagine what the disciples are saying? Jesus, lots of people. We didn't get much rest. Here they still are. So we know the miracle's coming. We know that. But look what Jesus tells these guys right here. This is what I want us to see. Verse 34. When Jesus landed and saw a loud crowd, he had what? Compassion. Brokenness. Empathy. Selflessness. Are you with me? All of those are subsumed in compassion. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. He didn't give them food first. He began what? He began to teach them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so the disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said. It's already late. Send the people what? What was their perspective? Jesus, send the people away. So they can go in the surrounding countryside and buy themselves something to eat. But Jesus answered, you give them something to eat. I got to turn to this place in my notes because I want to read this. I had it written down. I want you to hear it. Notice the contrast of how we see people and how Jesus sees people. Okay? We look through people. Jesus looks at people. We ignore people. Jesus stops for people. We take from people. Jesus what? Gives to people. We see people as problems. Jesus sees people as what? Potentials, right? We see the present, what's going on right now, the urgent, the tyranny of the urgent, the expedient. Jesus, what? Sees their future. Now, you guys know what utilitarian means? Something's useful. Utilize, you can utilize something. I think we see people with a utilitarian mindset. How can they best help? Right? That, if we're not careful, we have that. How can they best serve what? My life. Jesus had an interpersonal interest. He built up, he tried to bring healing into their lives, okay? Jesus showed no favoritism. He always elevated. He always loved. He always challenged. He caused people to think, discover. He was the great what? Equalizer. He didn't ignore their life issues. He moved into the mess. Hello? Guys, dealing with people isn't convenient. It isn't easy. It takes time. And the world just doesn't have time. Now, here's a little bit of irony. The devil has time for them, though. He has time to indoctrinate. Are you with me? He'll let them think that they love them, right? So they're loved by the world, and so then they go that way. While we're here ignoring people along the journey. Are you with me? Is the Holy Spirit talking to you? Three of you. The Holy Spirit, I pray. He's talking to me. It's funny, right, Pastor? When you preach and you pray all week, and then God is still talking to me while I'm ministering the word, all right? You guys probably have heard about the water crisis in Newark. But Paul's been here many, many times, my husband. He's such an advocate. Paul loves people. So he calls the city, he's called Convoy of Hope. So now Convoy of Hope, it's a ministry of the Assemblies of God, have been bringing trucks, and now he's scheduled every week to bring four truckloads of water, and Paul's in touch with the four rec centers, now he's in touch with the churches. I could never tell this when Paul was here, right? Because he'd say, shh, because Paul doesn't ever promote himself, which is what we should do, right? But he loves people. Our love has to drive us to action, though. Hello? I love people, yeah. No, it's our actions that speak to that, all right? And so that he's very powerful work in the city. And he doesn't care. A lot of people, you know what a lot of people are doing, Newark? Trying to get a photo op with the truck and a whole bunch of water. Hello? Paul's like, I don't want to see a camera. I don't care about that. As long as the people are getting the water. And now he spends his time. Like, there's a number of people can call. Do you have lead in your water? And you can sign up on this website. We give them a website. It's test the pipes in your home, all right? So love's got to be powerful. It's got to be active, right? Make a difference right where you are. Make a difference right where we live. Let's get to our third point. Does anybody remember what it is? Power. Anybody need any power? Guys, this is obvious. We don't have any power to change people's lives. Do you? I don't. But we've got to start with those priorities. What's your circle of priority? And what are the people in your circle? Begin to pray for them. Begin to pray for them by name. Begin to just interact with them. There's people, my first interaction, and I tell you, I do this intentionally. If I had a life word, I encourage you to have a life word. Everything and your choices in your life line up. My life word is intentional. Right? I am so intentional. I'll see certain people, and if it's appropriate, not a guy-girl thing, because I got to weigh that a little bit, but I always make eye contact. And I'll just be real gracious and say, how you doing? What's up? Just real casual, but it's very intentional on my inside. Because you wouldn't believe what people deal with. Lots of stuff. And you know what happens? I can see the Holy Spirit by doing that. I've seen the Holy Spirit take down things already, and he makes a way for you to minister to people. So you just got to be very aware. But we need the power of God in our lives. I appreciated our prayer this morning, Pastor, right? Guys, what happens when we pray here? I'm reflecting on our prayer time, Pastor, which you used the word reflect. What is it? It empowers what? Empowers us. It empowers us as a community. It empowers us when we go out to make a difference in people. That's why we pray, y'all, right? Heaven forbid. No, heaven. I'm just be honest, Pastor. We could do a lot of religious things, guys. Religious things mean coming to church. Oh, I prayed today. I read my Bible. No, we need to do those things. They're powerful. But if we just do them for the sake of doing them, we don't have the power. Are you with me? It's when you're in that prayer with a yes spirit. Holy Spirit, change me. Holy Spirit, my mind, help me see people. The power of God is going to flow even more through your life. Amen. I need more power. Not because I need it selfishly, because there's people in my life that need the power of God. Here's how much God loves people. Within the last month, there's a pastor in India, Pastor Sam, who knew a pastor friend of ours in Chicago. Pastor Sam in India calls Pastor Tom in Chicago and says, there's an Indian woman named Sandhya in Edison, New Jersey, who is dying of stage 4 stomach cancer. Pastor Tom in Chicago knows Pastor Paul and Andrea in Newark. He calls us, can you go visit Sandhya? I said, absolutely. That is God's priority, right? Gospel. People need Jesus. Sandhya has stage 4 stomach cancer. And we have seen her. Unless God does a miracle, which is what we need the power for. Unless God heals her, he's going to take. But she did accept the Lord. Her husband, Tarumala, I gave him this book. What was it? The Case for Christ. We gave him his Bible. Paul had his Bible. So take our Bible. That her life would begin to intersect. But that's how God works. But you got to have that yes spirit. And I'm still praying, like, God, if your power doesn't come, she will. But she'll go where? To heaven, to eternity. And whether God heals her here or he heals her there, I believe. And Tarumala, he already showed us his province where he's from in India. And he's already said, this man's not saved yet. He is not saved yet. He has already said, I want you to go to India in my village and build a hospital for people. That's all God's stuff. But our part is the nudges, the obedience to what God is saying, prioritizing people. But, you know, once you get to the end, you realize we need more of the power of God. Amen? You remember the Shunammite woman I talked about? So, if you would go back to 2 Kings, I'll paraphrase for time's sake. You go back to there. Not only did she make an upper room for Elijah, Elijah finally says to Gehazi, his servant, what can I do for this woman? And Gehazi, the servant, says, she has no children. She's barren. She comes to the room, to Elisha. Elisha says, this time, the next year, you're going to have a son. She has the son. He grows up a little bit. You go in the chapter 4 and 5. He has a headache one day. Goes out to his dad's field. His dad says, go back to your mom. He dies. And then if you read in there how then he is put on the bed. Now listen to this. God gave me this line. Her priority was the place of her power. Remember, she gave a bed to Elijah the prophet? She provided him hospitality. It was her priority. When that son was laid on that bed, Elisha laid on him seven times. The Bible says, hand to hand, eye to eye, face to face. And he breathed, he laid on him. And he got up, he walked around the room, he gets back on, he lays on this boy. And then he gets up, and his body now is warm. And that boy is raised to life. The place of her priority was the place of her miracle. So if you prioritize and do what God wants you to do, you're going to see miracles, you're going to see power, and they're all related to people because they're the ones that need the miracle. Are you with me? We got to get back to our priorities, seeing people like Jesus sees people, and actually say, God, I need more power in my life. I want to real quickly, point three here. I just kind of isolated, because sometimes we can talk real large and not have the hooks. What are five sources of power for our life? Y'all know these. If you don't have them, then we need to reflect onto why. All right? So as a believer, what are sources of power for our lives? I want to talk about, remember Romans 1:16? The gospel is powerful. You know, sometimes you think about sharing Jesus, but that's the power. Right? What is Romans 1:16? I quoted it early. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the what? Power of God. Do you know the word is dunamis? And it means mighty, it means miraculous works. It's used 120 times in the New Testament. That's how much we need the power. But the gospel has power. Yesterday, we had an outreach close to our church in Newark. It's a Georgia King Village, so it's a whole community right by our church. And so they were having donkey rides, and they had hot dogs. But we like to go as the church, right? And so we do fun things, but I always like to run what it's called Salvation Bracelets. And I have dog chains. Y'all know what a dog chain is, right? Like the army guys wear a dog chain. But I buy wooden crosses, and I buy colors of beads, and it's called the color of salvation. So every bead has a color. You know, the dark one is sin. The red one's the blood of Jesus. Sin is the problem. The blood covers, now your heart is clean. And then green means grow. Blue means you should be baptized. And yellow means you're going to heaven. Why do I say this? As these kids are coming yesterday to make their necklaces, which they love to wear proudly, which I love. I said, hey, put it on your backpack when you go, you know, wear it to school. And I said, you have two jobs. Believe the story that Jesus loves you, died, you're going to go to heaven, and then share the story. But my first step in making these necklaces with kids, which I love because I'm sharing the gospel all day, right, while I'm making all these cool necklaces, all the parents come behind. All the moms are bringing kids over. Are you with me? Moms are bringing, hey, I say, hey, would you like to make a necklace? They're like, yeah, I'll make a necklace. So the women are getting the gospel. The kid, but you would be surprised yesterday how many kids I showed the cross. And my first question when I make these necklaces, I said, do you know what this is? Do you know most of the kids couldn't tell me it was a cross? Here's what I'm saying. We're thinking people understand Christianity, understand what the cross is. I have kids that look at that cross and they didn't know what to say. Oh, maybe I think I saw it on a church somewhere. So one kid knew it was a church. But that's what I'm saying. We need the power of God, that power of that gospel in our lives. That's what's going to break through. All right? That's what's going to make a difference in our world. The name of Jesus is powerful. So the first source of power is the gospel. As we share it, it breaks chains. It does that work that we cannot do. And we know I need more of the Holy Spirit. Anybody need more of the Holy Spirit? And then we need the name of Jesus. I know I'm watching my time, so I'm so aware here. When you go into Acts 3 and 4, right? The Holy Spirit fell. Acts 3, Peter and John go to worship at the temple, and the beggar is there. And he's always put there. And Peter and John say, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have you, I give. What do you give you? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, what? Rise and walk. So we know the miracle, but then you go down a few verses. And then Peter, and they begin to address the crowd. And here's one of the questions they say to the crowd. Why do you think it's by our own godliness or our own power that this man walks? It is not by our own power. It's by what? The name of Jesus, who not only was dead, but was raised to life. And so they were so careful that it was the name of Jesus that held that power in our lives, right? So the gospel is powerful. The name of Jesus is powerful. The work of the Spirit. When you go into Acts 4, Peter says, in fact, listen to the question the Sanhedrin gave him. By whose power did you do this miracle? That was the Sanhedrin's question. They recognized the what? The power, all right? The word is powerful. Are you reading your word? Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is what? I love this verse. Living. Is it a dead word? Active. Sharper than a two-edged sword. It can divide soul and spirit. Joints. We need more of the word in our lives. Guys, she's not bothering me. More of the word in your lives, you're going to see more power in your lives. Less of the word, you will have less power. Bob Gass says this. He's a man from England originally. Bob Gass from England, but he has lived in Atlanta. He says, the word of God is the language of the Holy Spirit. So when you're reading the word regularly, the Holy Spirit is what? Speaking to you. That is so true. The word of God is the language of the Holy Spirit. And you know my challenge, if you're not real regular into the word, start with 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes of power will be more than any power you have now. 10 minutes of power. And finally, prayer. What does James say? The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So as a believer, we want that power of God at work in our lives. I want us to stand. We're going to pray in a minute. We're not going to come forward because I know we're going to do the kids in a minute. But I just want you to change your position. Let's just close our eyes. And I want us to pray. If you feel you want to just lift up your hands. Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Jesus, that you have been here. Even overnight, you dwell among us. We're your people. We're your church here, Jesus. And Lord, right now, I want to just put our challenge to myself and us. Lord, are our priorities aligned with yours? Jesus, talk to us. Are our priorities your priorities? Do we have something that's in second place that needs to be moved to first place? Lord, do we see people like you see people? Help us, Lord. Help us be broken in our spirit for people. We have the answer. We have the gospel. We have the answer. We have the hope. We have what they need. And so I pray you would open up our eyes anew and afresh as we go back to school, back to the season. That we would return to really having a brokenness for people. Finally, Lord, I pray for power. I need more power in my life. I pray that we'd all have a desire for your word. We'd pray more. We would have those gospel opportunities, Jesus. We'd want to be refreshed by your Holy Spirit. Jesus, right now, invade our hearts, invade our lives. I just want to take a minute for you to pray right where you're standing. I just want to take a minute. You just pray. What does God want you to do with what you've heard today? Let's just take a minute and pray, and then I'll call Sandy Ford, and she'll take it from here. Jesus, help us today. Help us today. Your word, Lord. We want to solidify things today, Lord. Speak, Lord. You're always speaking, but are we listening, Lord?